The Hoop Heads Podcast is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hello and welcome to the Hoop Heads Podcast. It's Mike Klinzing here with my co-host Jason Sunkel. Jason, NBA pod tonight. Anthony Davis.
Listen, Anthony Davis is the topic of conversation, but first we have to celebrate these cold days, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's why we're doing this. That's why we're doing it on Wednesday night I guess officially it's Thursday morning at 12:04. So we're going to talk some NBA tonight.
Sounds perfect.
It's going to be good. I know you really want to talk Anthony Davis, but first we have to talk about a topic that's near and dear to our hearts. What the heck are the Cavs doing?
I have no idea. My daughter is so excited. The last 2 days she's been telling, Dad, the Cavs, they're winning. I'm like, what are they doing? This is awful. It is unbelievable.
Well, I just can't believe it. And you know what? I will say they almost tried to lose last night. They tried their hardest.
Well, it was quite a comeback by the Wizards, but how bad did the Wizards have to be?
They were up 25 points with like 7.5 minutes left. And I texted you saying, what are the Cavs are up 25. They're not just winning by a little, they're winning by a lot. And you said something along the lines of, what's his name?
Larry Drew
will get fired.
I think he's trying to get fired. He keeps winning games. He's trying to get himself fired.
So I was putting together, I told Mike, I was putting together this STEM science center that we got the kids for Christmas or whatever. And we're sitting there, I'm putting it together. And then I look and I see Cavs up 6 with 36 seconds left. And I'm like, oh, this is looking more promising. They then throw the ball away 2 straight times, inbounding the ball. The Wizards are pressing like it's college basketball. And I think they cut the lead. They cut it to like 2. And then we missed like 5 free throws in the last 42 seconds. And sadly, 2 of those guys that missed like 4 free throws are on my fantasy team. It hurt my free throw percentage.
Hey, the reality is that the last 2 wins, I mean, you beat the Wizards, and then the Bulls was even worse than losing to the Wizards. I mean, now you not only do you win the game, but then you grant the team that you're competing with for the end, that you give them another loss. It's just, yeah. I mean, it's just terrible. I mean, again, I get it. The players are playing hard and the coaching staff's trying to win, and you can't fault them for getting after it and trying to, you know, bring home a victory. But my gosh, from a long-term standpoint, you just can't win those games.
I think it's time to – let's see if Jerome Blossom game can flourish.
We need to start sitting guys out. I think guys, we need to start getting – Larry Drew needs a rotation.
Tristan's quote-unquote hurt again, but, I mean, like why did he come back and then immediately go back on the save – I don't know, the save list.
That's some good GMing by Kobe Holt.
So I'm taking Will to his first ever Cavs game on Saturday night.
Nice. Who do they play?
They play Hallaluka. That's the reason I'm going.
I saw there was – I was looking – I got an email today from SeatGeek that seats were $15 for the Dallas.
Even better, flash seats. People are selling them on the market. $8 in the fifth row of the upper deck. Yeah. Heck yeah. And yeah. I'm be honest with you. I saw the email that they were playing Dallas and that there was still plenty of seats available. And I got to take my kid to Luka Doncic. That's the whole reason I'm going.
Celtics tickets were 12.
$10. I saw one for 10. Now that's before processing fees and stuff. But yeah. I still like $8 is like. That's what I used to play for the Indians when they were terrible, and I would just randomly show up to the game.
Somebody told me they went to the Bulls game, a friend of mine with his son, and I guess they sat like down in the lower bowl, and they paid like $8 or something for it. And he said the arena was half full. So
yeah, I mean again, what's funny is the Cavs, by the way, and now this is to do with season tickets, I'm sure, are 7th in the league in attendance or / tickets sold.
Yeah, it's got to be season tickets. I mean, I can't imagine if you actually count bodies in the seats that we're still up that high. But
those are all the suckers that bought season tickets before LeBron didn't come back.
Yeah, well, hey, now they're buying them for Zion next year, so it's all good.
I'm excited to take Will. I'm kind of bummed I didn't take him when we were good, but at the same time, I would have had to pay $50 to go to a game.
Well, hey, this is the way to do it. This is the way to do this. It reminds me of the old era Coliseum when you could go in and spend $4 to get in for a ticket and sit in like the sixth row back in 1983 when George Karl and Tom Nosalke were the coaches.
It's just too bad there's not quarter beer night or whatever they used to do back in the day.
10-cent beer. They didn't have that. They did not do that at the Coliseum. That was only
I know that was at the municipal stadium.
Right? Yes, yes, yeah. Absolutely.
So, all right, so that's our Cavs talk. Hopefully, we're back to our losing ways on Saturday.
Well, we're not the worst anymore because we've won 11. The Knicks have only won 10.
Yeah. And the Knicks. By the way, do you see Carmelo went to the Wade's last game in Madison Square Garden?
I did not see that.
He got a standing ovation. I did see that he got
a standing ovation.
So it was Wade's. It was.
He was good. He was good for the Knicks.
So here's a question for
people are dumping on Carmelo.
Here's a question for Carmelo. Is Carmelo's number going to get retired in Denver or is it going to get retired in New York?
Ooh, that's a good question. I don't know. I could see it get retired in both places, to be honest with you. I mean, he probably put up the most statistical, you know, most of his statistics, I guess, were in Denver, or maybe it was pretty even.
I think it's pretty split. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. You know, yeah. I don't know.
But I don't know. I think he's going to be a Hall of Fame player, and people, again, I think are dumping on him probably more than they should, but he definitely doesn't fit today's era. And I think, I don't know, it'll be interesting to see if he gets a contract or not for the rest of the year if somebody picks him up and signs him.
Dude, I'm all for signing him for the Cavs because we will probably lose more games if he gets in the game.
It could be. Look, we need to get Zion. Every time I read an article about how efficient he is and how Mike Krzyzewski's misusing him and, you know, just his effective field goal percentage and, you know, he's the best prospect since LeBron. I've been stumping for this since the beginning of the year and I'm going to continue to stump for it all the way up until the night of the lottery. So
Zion for Zion. That's what I just came up with.
Keep hope alive. Keep hope alive, Nick Gilbert. Keep hope alive.
Yeah. All right. Sorry. I just got a text. I invited our friend Trevor Huffman to join us, and he just said, I'm at a friend, so I can't come on tonight.
Trevor. Right. Come on, man.
And he wrote, go Cavs.
All right, there you go.
All right, so I think the other topic at hand, before we get to AD, because I know you want to talk about AD, is the report that our good friends might be reuniting again. Kyrie is seriously considering going to the Lakers this offseason.
All right, so two things there. One, what is the source of these reports?
It came from Woj, man. And Woj doesn't just... He doesn't just go out there and throw things around. I can't think of a time where Woj has been really, really wrong.
All right. So then that leads directly into the next discussion, which is, I mean, there's two pieces of this. One obviously is the Kyrie LeBron relationship, which, you know, I mean, I said it before when Kyrie was here in Cleveland with LeBron, that it would be hard to imagine a guy who was any better suited for playing the sidekick to Robin. LeBron. Again, he has the go get a basket mentality that is the one thing that's probably the biggest weakness, at least in my opinion, in LeBron's game, is that end of the game, big moment, take the shot. You need a basket here. And Kyrie filled that need for him, plus the opportunity for Kyrie to take over at times where LeBron was sitting or LeBron was having an off scoring day, whatever the case might be. I just think the two of them fit together perfectly. So from a basketball standpoint, it makes total sense. Obviously from a personality standpoint, there was at some point, let's just call it an issue. But now it seems like they've, for whatever reason, they've sort of mended fences.
I think it's funny because it's like happened in the last 3 weeks, really. Like when he called LeBron, I think we talked about this before, when he called LeBron and Kevin Love was there supposedly and all this other stuff. It's just like, man, why couldn't you guys get this together 2 years ago? Come on now.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's sad.
The situation in Boston had to happen in order for Kyrie to kind of come to a self-realization here, I think. And you know, I don't know how I'm going to feel if it happens. I don't know.
I think it'll be fun to watch,
especially if they kick Golden State's butt, and I'll be completely somewhat at peace with it at that point, and especially if we get Zion. But you know, it'll be weird to see if it does happen.
Yeah, it would definitely be strange to see Kyrie and LeBron together in a Laker uniform, which you know, again, I don't know what the odds are of that actually happening, but if it does, from a basketball standpoint, it makes, like I said, it makes total sense. From a personality standpoint, if these guys have put whatever differences they had behind them, as much as two guys with, you know, sizable egos can put those things aside to be able to want to work together. And then the elephant in the room here is that I don't think Kyrie's going there without AD going there also. And if you put LeBron, Anthony Davis, and Kyrie on the same roster, that's definitely a legitimate challenger. I mean, to
ridiculous
to Boston. And again, we're also, I think, you know, one of the interesting pieces of this is how LeBron continues to age or not age. And so, you know, we forget that he's 34 now.
34, he's a year older than me.
So he'll be 35, you know, in the middle of next season. And at some point, I mean, again, he's going to slow down. Now, whether or not you believe the talk this year that he's sitting out so that the Lakers can showcase Lonzo and Brandon Ingram and Kuzma for
that worked out well. That worked out for Lonzo and Kuzma, who haven't played in.
Yeah, well, those guys, I don't know. I mean,
I don't buy into that. I think they're just being precautious. I think they want to get him. They want him to be as close to 100% as they can have him when he comes back. And
yeah, I agree.
I'm not buying into the, you know, this isn't the Miami trip that he made his first year back in Cleveland. Okay. Cause that was a week. That was a week and a half. This was Christmas Day game, right? Or somewhere around
Christmas
there.
Day. Yeah. Christmas Day game was, yep.
He's been out for a month and 5 days now. And I know they're saying that he's likely to play tomorrow, or I guess now today, but they're not rushing him back. And I just don't buy into the, you know, they're sitting him such and such here. I think they really were just being super precautious with his injury, because they know the only way that they're successful this year, as evident by their current roster constraints, is if he's healthy.
Yeah, I think that when you look at what they're doing, I think that the reality is they're not afraid of anybody in the West other than Golden State. And I don't think LeBron is afraid of Golden State, but I think if they matched up, I think they would feel confident if they matched up with anybody besides the Warriors in the first round. So if they get to the seventh seed, that they're not going to be concerned about anything beyond that, especially if something happens with Anthony Davis in the next 10 days or whatever it is before the trade deadline, then
segue.
Yeah. Then I think for sure you have something. So I don't know. I look at the Davis thing, and I just, you know, if you're in New Orleans, there's just so many ways that you can play this. I mean, the reality is they still have him for a year and a half.
If I'm New Orleans, I do not trade him. I hold on to him.
And yet at the same time, if he's going to leave and you can get something for him, the question is if you look around the league, what do you want for Anthony Davis? Like, if I'm the Lakers and I can offer, again, they're going to have to give up all three of those guys, plus probably two number one draft picks, I would guess. And even then, if I'm the Pelicans and I'm sitting there going, all right, well, what's Lonzo? What's Brandon Ingram? What's Kuzma? Any of those guys?
Zubats.
Yeah, Zubats. Yeah, exactly. Well, he's been playing really well.
If you want a big, he's the guy you go after. In my opinion, he's young and he's played really well.
All right, so you got all four of those guys. Like, if you're New Orleans, is that what you want? I mean, I don't know. Maybe, you know, you look at their team and their franchise, and just, you know, they haven't been able to draw with Anthony Davis there, and yet they really have been basically, since he's been there, a 500 team, give or take, you know, 5-6 games.
But a lot of that comes down to his health, though, too. I mean, he's not the most healthy basketball player.
No, I agree. But ultimately, like, when you look at the New Orleans market and you say, okay, if Anthony Davis leaves, what happens to the Pelicans? Well, if they bring in those four guys from the Lakers and two number one draft picks, does that somehow make them better? Like, it's not like they're a 60-win team with Anthony Davis.
That's true.
Could they get a good good trade package that will enable them to play? Because again, Gentry likes to get up and down the floor, so maybe you get a bunch of young guys and you just go up and down the floor and try to score 130 every night.
Yeah, I don't know
what the package is. Like, to me, like those Lakers guys, like I like Lonzo, but I like Lonzo as the fifth guy on a team. Lonzo, I don't think is ever going to be an all-star caliber player. Brandon Ingram, I watch him play, and he's fine, but I don't ever see him being an all-star player.
He had a nice game last night.
He's fine. He's fine, but he's not – like I don't see him having that force of personality where he's ever going to be a top 10 player in the league like people thought potentially he could. Or, you know, obviously there was a debate between Simmons and Ingram, and Simmons has his drawbacks, but the reality is he is –
Hey, you see, he took his first three-pointer the other night.
I did see that. I did see the highlight of that. So, nice job, Ben. He's really coming along. So maybe there's always that trade out there.
Yeah. So here's my thing. If I think the way that I've at least heard and read about it, New Orleans, really, especially with Rich Paul basically coming out and saying the Lakers are where he wants to go. He doesn't want to go anywhere else. He will not sign an extension anywhere else, which is hilarious that Anthony Davis gets a $50,000 fine for that.
Yeah, right.
Rich Paul's the one that said it. I mean, yeah. I know it was probably – he probably told Anthony Davis, I'm going to say this. And Anthony Davis was like, okay. Because $50,000, by the way, equates to 7 minutes of playing time for Anthony Davis.
That like, sounds about maybe, right.
So, which is hilarious. But I just don't see – If I'm any team other than, you know, the Lakers, no one's going to want to trade a whole bunch of stuff. So if the Lakers don't want to give away all their assets or they don't want to do it, I just don't see
the Lakers want to do it, though. The Lakers would do it in a second. If right now New Orleans said, we'll take those three guys or those four guys and two number one draft picks, LA does that in a split second. I don't think there's any doubt.
Do you think New Orleans is not going to do it because of just how it's kind of gone down? Do you think they're going to, or do you think they're going to end up pulling the trigger? I mean, we have 2 weeks, so.
I mean, I go back and forth because, you know, because Boston can't trade and Boston can't get into it until whatever that Kyrie Irving exception or whatever
it is. They can't get into it until July 1st.
And then the other thing is that if you're the Pelicans, you don't know who holds the Zion chip. And so let's say New York gets the Zion pick and now you could get Zion, Porzingis, and, you know, whatever.
New York has got a bunch of dumb people running their team, okay?
Yeah.
But I don't think there's any way they trade Zion and Porzingis for a 1 year rental of Anthony Davis.
Yeah, but Anthony Davis Davis hasn't said he's only signing in LA. He just said he hasn't come out and said that. Rich Paul, they didn't say he's only signing.
They said
signing
that he wasn't gonna sign a contract extension anywhere but in LA.
He didn't say that. Not in his original statement, he didn't say that. He just said he wanted to trade. Unless he made a second statement.
He made a statement that Lakers was his preferred destination and he wasn't going to sign a contract extension anywhere else.
All right, I didn't see that.
That's what he got $50,000 fine for.
All right, well, if that's the case, then I don't know what you do. Well, then if you're the Knicks, you're not doing that. If you've been told that he's not going to sign long term, then obviously you don't do that. The only candidate to me that if that's the case is a team that thinks they can win, like Toronto. So maybe you're Toronto and you just say, you know, we have one chance to win the title. Kawhi's here. Kawhi might leave at the end of the year. We trade for Anthony Davis. We trade away all our young guys. Trade Siakam. Trade Anunoby. Trade, you know, whatever, Fred VanVleet, whatever. Throw in a number one or number two draft choice, knowing that, hey, we're Toronto. We're not going to have many opportunities to be able to go and pair up two guys like Leonard and Davis. And maybe you just do that. Maybe that 1 year rental of Anthony Davis, if you're in Toronto, is worth it. I don't know. Here we go.
Here's the exact statement.
Okay.
Rich Paul told Woj, Anthony Davis wants to be traded to a team that allows him to a chance to win consistently and compete for an NBA championship. He then stated that that the Lakers are the team that he would like to be traded to, and for anyone else, he's a rental.
All right. Well, hey, I missed that. All right. So if that's the case, then, I mean, that doesn't bode well. Like, if you're the Celtics, and, I mean, again, things could change. You know, we know things can change on the drop of a dime, so it's not like that's something that's written in stone. But let's say you get to July 1st and that statement is still the only statement that's out there. There's no way the Celtics are trading draft picks and Jason Tatum and Jalen Brown. There's no way they're doing that for somebody who might only be there for a year.
I think that's the other thing with the Lakers, with the Pelicans. The Lakers can be like, listen, no one else is going to trade you for him. We're not giving you all this stuff.
Yeah, right. Maybe you give him less.
So that's where I think if I'm New Orleans, I stand pat for now and I just let it ride the rest of the season. And I mean, you're probably not going to make the playoffs.
Do they sit Davis out?
I don't think that would be a bad look for him.
But he wouldn't do it. Maybe the team just tells him, hey man, your finger's still hurting, buddy. You stay home. Cause now they're just tanking. So they get a better pick. If Anthony Davis plays, they're not going to go completely in the tank if he's playing.
I don't know because there were.
And then with his injury history, what if he gets hurt? And then now you got nothing. Now you got a guy with a, you know, who knows what injury he could have. I mean.
So a question for you. We on the previous podcast, we talked about MVP stuff and we mentioned his name in the MVP. In my opinion, this whole situation pulls him out of the MVP conversation.
Yeah, I mean, there's only two guys in the MVP race. I mean, there's only two. The only third guy who can get in it is if LeBron comes back and suddenly the Lakers go, you know, 25-5 over the last 30 games of the season or whatever. I mean, it's Giannis and it's Harden right now. I mean, there's nobody else in the conversation.
So who's your front? Are you still sticking with Giannis as your front runner?
I mean, it's hard to say Giannis is the front runner at this point just because of what Harden has done. I mean, he's definitely slowed down in the last couple of games. Slowing down.
He only scored 37.
He's been in the 30s as opposed to being above 40.
He's at 24 straight games of 30 plus points or something like that. That's crazy. Think about that. I mean, Jordan never did that, right?
Nah, I don't know. He probably had a stretch. I don't know if he had a stretch that long where he averaged that money, but I mean, he had the one year where he averaged over 37. So you got to figure somewhere in that range, he had a stretch of games where he was up over 40, but it's one of those things that it doesn't seem real as you're reading the stats. It just doesn't seem like it could really be happening. I just think one for 17. I mean, that's still crazy that he scored that many points and went 1 for 17 from three. I think that to me, the thing that sticks out is I just don't know if you look at the long-term ramifications of what he's doing. And so you say, here it is in January, you know, whatever, almost February. So he's got February, March, half of April still in the regular season to continue to carry this load. And obviously if Chris Paul comes back, that load will lighten up somewhat, but it's not going to lighten up tremendously.
Chris Paul came back and Harden still shot like 32 shots and had 35 points.
Right. So. You figure you're going to do somewhat less as a result of Paul's presence. But I guess my point is that if they're going to go deep into the playoffs, like that's, I don't care what anybody says, that's exhausting. I don't care how good a shape he's in. It's just to be able to do that and carry that kind of load and have to create everything that team does. And I know he's super good at it. And I know that there's probably nobody ever in the history of the game that played the way he's playing. Not necessarily that other guys couldn't do that, but nobody has ever played that way where they just dribble the ball down the floor and then make a move, and then either shoot it or pass it to a guy who's wide open for a three.
You saw that his streak ended, right, where he actually scored off an assist?
Well, I mean, I knew it ended, but I didn't see the highlight or the play.
The player that assisted him the ball is the guy that they added, like, literally a week ago, Kenneth Faried.
Yeah, Faried. He's had a couple big games, like double doubles.
Where did they get him? They literally drug him off the street, and he hadn't played. He hadn't played.
Right, but he was on Denver's roster. He wasn't a street free agent. He was on Denver's roster, right?
I think they traded for him.
I think.
I thought he was cut. I thought they waived him.
Maybe, but he hasn't played for years. But yeah, he's come off and he's been great. But anyway, getting back to the MVP situation, I just wonder if Harden can continue to keep up the pace just with the physical demands that are placed on him as a result of what he has to do. And so Giannis has continued to be pretty consistent. The Bucks still have, you know, I think they were like 36 and 14 or something like that. So they're still right there at the top of the East. And I think it's a two-man race. And if Harden continues at the pace that he's at now and ends up averaging 36 a game, it's going to be hard not to give it to him. But at the same time, I think Giannis has a pretty compelling case too. But I would have to say that Harden's probably the favorite now, just based on what he's done over the last 25 games.
Yeah. So I think Harden right now is the MVP, but I kind of agree with you. I just don't see him being able to keep this up. And maybe I'll be wrong. We're both kind of Harden doubters. And I was not a huge proponent of Harden MVP last year. I still think LeBron was the, I mean, if we go retroactively and go back to last
year. Retroactively.
There's no doubt LeBron is the MVP last year. I mean, the Cavs roster, I know now it's completely different than it was, but I mean, at the beginning of the season this year, the roster didn't look comprised of that many
players. It was essentially the same,
but we took LeBron away.
Yeah.
Okay. And we were terrible. We lost the first 8 games, and we had Love and Tristan and JR and George Hill and, you know, Larry Nance and Clarkson and all these guys that were on the team last year, and we were terrible. And there's no doubt in my mind that if you go back, if you were to take the vote back now, I think you have to say LeBron was the MVP last year. He got screwed, and I think everyone's just so accustomed to how good of a basketball player he is. They didn't realize how great he was because he dragged the corpses of that Cavs team to the finals.
Well, so he's a victim of how good he is.
Yeah, and that goes to all, like, he doesn't get calls when he's going lane. He literally will get like punched and they won't call a foul and smacked going to the lane. But you know, basically what I'm saying is last year I wasn't a huge proponent of Harden being an MVP candidate. However, this year I have to say right now he's my front runner. And And I really like Joel Embiid, and I really like Giannis, but I think right now Harden's my front runner. If he continues this, it's no doubt in my mind he's going to win.
Yeah, I mean, it's a two-man race. It's Giannis and it's Harden. If LeBron gets back soon and, like, the Lakers go on a huge tear and he carries him down the stretch, he could get in the conversation. But I think right now it's Harden as a slight favorite right at the moment, and with Giannis not too far behind. So, I don't know. We'll see. It'll be interesting to see how that plays itself out. All right. Let's. Where do you think if you had to bet, where does Anthony Davis end up? Where's he end up?
I think he's staying in New Orleans.
Where and when?
I think he's in New Orleans for the remainder of this season. And I think I have a feeling in the summer he'll end up being a Laker. And, you know, the kind of the Kevin Love situation when he got traded to Minnesota. From Minnesota to the Cavs, when he said he wasn't going to sign a contract extension, and you know they worked all those backdoor whatever shady deals went on then, and we knew about it before it happened. So I have a feeling that's what's going to end up happening, and I have to say, you know, it's early in the discussion of this, but the Kyrie, LeBron, Anthony Davis trio in L.A. That would be some fun basketball to watch. I will say that much. That would be some fun basketball to watch.
All right. I say AD is in Los Angeles within the next 10 days. Because there's no point. If you're going to trade him to L.A., if that's the only place that he's going to go, I mean, I know that New Orleans is under no obligation to meet his needs or demands. But if nobody else can get him on a long-term contract extension, then to me, what are you going to offer? If you're one of these other teams, you're not offering anywhere near. I mean, the Lakers aren't going to be offering equal value either, but nobody else is going to even come close to what the Lakers can offer. So
that's where that's where I think, though, that they hold pat and see if he softens his stance on that at all. Like, I mean, maybe he won't, but I just think you gotta, you kind of have to play the game.
That stuff's hanging over your head. It just, I mean, again, it just puts a damper on everything that you're trying to do. Like, you just, it's just hanging there. So you might as well, it's going to happen at some point. You might as well just get him out of there, get what you can get out of it, and then see what the direction of your franchise is. Are you going to trade, you know, do they take that haul and try to build it with Drew Holiday and Mirotic, or do you just say, we're basically just starting over, we're going to bottom out, and we're going to trade?
Did you just say, we're going to build a team with Nikola Mirotic?
I'm saying you take Ingram, Lonzo, Kuzma, Drew Holiday, and Mirotic as your, and well, you know what I'm saying. I'm not saying that's some NBA powerhouse. I'm just saying, do you trade those? Do you trade Drew Holiday and Mirotic along with Anthony Davis, or do you keep those guys and try to build a respectable team
A team that could really use Mirotic is the 76ers.
76ers could use Mirotic. He'd look good with the Bucks.
Same thing, Holiday.
Good with the Bucks. Holiday would look really good for the Sixers. He would be very good for the Sixers. I mean, Holiday would fit anywhere because that guy defends like crazy, and he's a good offensive player.
Except for the Cavs, we don't want him. We want to lose.
We do not want the Cavs. We want to trade. We want to trade away some more of our guys to keep helping us win. I'm getting tired of this Chetty Osman winning.
Hey, come on now. He's played at the Rising Stars game, man.
He is. Chetty fits. You know, again, he could be around. I'm fine with Chetty. I just don't want him winning more games. Come on, Larry Drew. What are you doing there? Come on.
Yeah.
Get it together over there.
So I don't really have much else. I have one thing I want to share at the end here, but is there anything else you want to say in regards to Anthony Davis, or are you?
No, I think he's going to be a Laker within 10 days. I think it's inevitable. And if I had to bet, once he goes there, I would venture to guess that Kyrie is going to take whatever the minimal discount is that he has to take in order to get out there. And that's going to be the three. That's going to be the three guys that break
Spring Hill Entertainment Group, LeBron's media empire, will immediately greenlight Uncle Drew too.
I'm going to leave that one alone.
So tonight, Enes Kanter's apparently, I don't know if he's not been playing a lot of minutes for the Knicks, and they put him in the game, and I'm just. He does a push up every time he comes into the game, and today he decided he was going to do a push up and kiss the, like, center court. The first play of the game, he shoots a shot and airballs it. So he does a push up, kisses the floor, dribbles down the floor, gets a shot and airballs it. So
hey, it was a little tight, man. It was like, you know, all that weight training is not good for your shot. So when you do all those push ups right before you shoot, it's not a positive.
There is one other thing. Did you see that the Thunder are accommodating Kevin Durant to come to Nick Collison's jersey retirement?
I mean, I knew he said he wanted to come, but I don't know what that
entails.
So
they're giving him a suite, and they're giving him, like, when they're doing the retirement, he's going to be on the floor for it. That's interesting. That's shades of LeBron coming back for Z. I'm not saying Durant's going back to the Thunder, but I'm just saying I think it's, you know, it's kind of interesting.
Is Russell going to deliver a platter of cupcakes to his suite? No,
I don't think so. But I just find it interesting that, like, I mean, it's cool that he's going back. He's like, Nick was my guy and things, but I just find
that's cool. I mean, again, they're teammates. It's good. That's respectful. Again, you would think, again, everybody has to understand that we all get our feelings hurt, but ultimately everybody should understand that it's a business, and ownership should understand it. Management should understand it. Players should understand it. And despite the emotions that get involved in it, you know, it is what it is. It's the reality is it's a business. It's a business.
It was funny because when they made the press release that Nick Collison's numbers were getting retired, they were definitely throwing shade at Kevin Durant because they said, like, Mr. Thunder, he played his whole career here. He had offers to go elsewhere, and he he wanted to stay here. So it was just the press release kind of was throwing shade at Durant, and now Durant's going back for it. So I just find it funny.
Understood. All right, let's go over the All-Star voting.
Oh yeah, that's right. So we had our draft the other night, and we said whose team was going to win. We put it out on the social media, and it ended up being 60% of the vote went to my team, Team 2, and 40% went to Mike's team. So I thought it was going to be a little more close. I thought it was going to be a little closer than that. But
I mean, share your roster again.
Oh, no. LeBron, Harden, Paul George. I can't even remember who else is on my team. I don't have it right here. Embiid, and who was my fifth guy?
So I had
you remember your roster. This is your point.
I had Giannis, I had Steph, I had Kyrie, I had Durant, and I have Kemba Walker.
All right, I'm pulling it up right now because I can't remember. I feel terrible for my fifth. Where my fifth player? Oh, Kawhi. That's right. Kawhi. I didn't even have to look. Kawhi.
All right. So my recommendation, or my thought, is that no matter what the teams were, whichever team had Kemba, everybody would have voted against me. So I feel pretty good that my first four picks got me to 40%. But yeah, if it was a four on four game, I like my chances.
Yeah, and what's funny is my first pick, the people that I had conversations with about the team said that they were, the only concern that they had was Harden wasn't going to pass the ball. So what was funny was Mike said, well, let's make it 4-on-4. I'll take Kemba off. And I said, well, then I'll just take Harden off, because that was my, everyone said that was my team's weakness. And basically what they said, the conversations I had with the people in my fantasy basketball league and the people at my work was that they didn't think they had any, that you had anyone that could guard Embiid because of the matchups or something. And with your team was too small was the essential.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree.
Between Kyrie, Steph, and Kemba Walker, there was going to be some definite issues on the defensive end of the basketball.
Well, if you remember back to the draft, the key pick there was the decision between Paul George or Kyrie. And I picked Kyrie as a result of him being a two-time All-Star MVP. I know he's won it at least once. I kind of think he's won it twice.
Yeah, I know he won it once, and I know he won the 3-point contest once. But
I think you get a chance to draft a 2-time MVP. And again, I'm not so sure there's been a whole lot of defense. Although last year it kind of stiffened up there much more than it has in recent years, so it could bode well for
LeBron defenders. So LeBron has the first pick. Does he totally go completely nuts and just take Kyrie just so we get all the speculation?
That would be a classic LeBron move.
I think he's totally doing it. I'm willing. By the way, I think you owe me a dinner because my team won the voting. But
we're ready, man.
I'll bet that dinner that he picks Kyrie first.
All right, double or nothing. That sounds fair. Well, I'm excited to see what day's the draft. The 7th is that
it's
when
the 7th? So a week from right, a week from today.
All right.
Essentially.
So. When are the reserves coming out?
I don't know. I have to think that they're going to come out before then, right? I mean,
you would think so.
I thought I saw that they were coming out on the 4th, but that just could be me totally guessing here and not being right.
All right. Well, when the reserves come out. And after the draft, we'll jump back on and do another pod, an NBA draft, All-Star draft reaction show.
Yeah, so I'm looking right now. I'm trying to follow it up. Oh, so I guess it's not, the reserves aren't going to be announced until – oh, they're going to get announced tonight on the Thursday night before the Thursday night basketball game.
All right.
So the reserves will get announced tonight.
We can check our rosters there. So maybe we'll do one. We'll do a show after the draft and talk about the reserves and the order of the picks. See how accurate we were in our selections.
So So yeah, they're definitely, it's going to get announced at 7 p.m. tonight. So we'll see what happens.
All right, nice. There we go. All right, well, I don't have anything else.
I don't have anything else. Go Mavs.
All right, sounds good. To everyone out there, thanks for listening, and we will catch you on our next episode. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads podcast, brought to you by Head Start Basketball.